We say every year is Kinavav. This, if you have the Koren, it's on page 195. And this is the first of what I believe is altogether 15 kinos that was authored by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. Like everything else that he did, stylistically, it's incredibly brilliant and complicated, interweaving words from various chapters in Megillas Eicha. It's interesting to note that we're actually starting in the middle. The word Shavas comes from the Pasuk in Eicha in Perikei, Pasuk Tezvav, and then continuing and working off of that. I'd like to make, as I usually do, two different points for us to think about as we consider, and then shortly we'll say together this Kina of Shavas. Number one, the word itself, Shavas. We know Shavas comes from the word stopping, Miloshon Shabbos, right? Shavas v'yinafash, Hashem stopped working. But both in the Koren Kinos and in various other collections of Rav Soloveitchik's teachings, he used to emphasize time and time again that the theme here is the suddenness of the stopping. That everything that the Jewish people knew of life at the time in when they had a Beis HaMikdash, that all of it came to an end. It came to a total end, and it came to a complete and sudden end. The life which had been previously focused on the Beis HaMikdash vanished. Everything that was their terra firma, all of their foundations in life, all the assumptions they made about what it meant to confront Hashem, to meet Hashem, to grapple with Hashem, all of that surrounded the Beis HaMikdash, even if they were only there a few times a year. But that was the base point of everything. All of that came to an end. And it also, in their experience, happened suddenly. Soloveitchik emphasized that we know that that's not really true. The Nevi'im were warning the people. It wasn't really something that was sudden and shocking. And yet, Soloveitchik pointed out, and we know this from our own experiences, unfortunately, when we have tragedy, that even when you know something's coming, the finality of the ultimate tragedy still feels shocking, sudden. Everything the people knew at the time, Beis HaMikdash, Karbanos, Kohanim, all gone. Last year, we had our version of that. With the closure of the shuls, the upending of normal life, normal religious life. It is true that, thankfully, and we should be thankful, that it has mostly returned. But now we have this new Delta variant. And either way, there's still tremendous amounts of unease. Especially those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of people are already thinking which of their relatives will be allowed or not allowed to come in for Sukkot. All sorts of people have vacations planned the next few weeks. Will they be able to go? They feel fine, but who knows when they go to that test? Who knows what the test will reveal? There's tremendous amounts of unease. And we can't compare this year to last year, Baruch Hashem, and we can't compare any of it to the Churban, I don't think. But nevertheless, at least on our own level, we have a little bit of that Shavas and a little bit of that unease and lack of firm ground that we depend on usually to walk on in life. And it's something that, as much as we wish we didn't have it, in some way it should actually make the Avelus of Tisha B'Av a little bit easier than it would have been in previous years. That's one point to think about when we say this kina. The second one comes up in the second line of the kina. Schi umos hisimuni be'edre chaverai. They called me dirty and repulsive. They abandoned me. They treated me worse than all of my friends. Later on in the kina, if you turn the page, if you have the Koran, it's in the top of 197, but it's about halfway through the kina. At the end of one of the stanzas, a very powerful phrase, Karasi lamahavai hema rimuni. And this is continuing on that theme of Schiumos. It has to do with the way the nations of the world, the way the Goyim treated the Jewish people. I thought I had allies. I thought I had friends. I thought I had people who would be there when I was attacked, when I was in need. Karasi lamahavai. I called out to those friends, those people I thought I could rely on, my allies, the people I had treaties with. And yet, at my greatest moment of need, Hema Rimuni, they fooled me, they betrayed me. Unfortunately, Jewish history is a never-ending cycle of this experience, certainly in Golus. We do our best to have alliances, to be good citizens where we live. The Jewish state does its best to have alliances. And yet, so often is the case in our time of need, people disappoint us, to put it mildly, and often much worse. During the recent rocket attacks and the mini war, or whatever it was being called, a few months ago, of course, we saw this as well. Many of the usual suspects were there to jump on the bandwagon. Disproportionate. I can't remember all the tired cliches. I think they just hit, you know, they take the video, you know, the VHS tape, because it really goes back at least to when there was VHS. And they just hit play on all of their usual trite and cliched critiques. You could have predicted it. You could predict which cable stations. You could predict which international bodies. It's all the same. I didn't want to do it because it was too depressing. But I have no doubt if I would take out my notes from any of the last 15 years on Tisha B'Av, certainly any year, and unfortunately often it is, there is a year, and sometimes often in the summertime, there have been various issues in the north and in the south, and every year is the same thing. I'm sure I've been saying this year in and year out, because unfortunately it never changes, and it goes back. It goes back, the Baal HaKinah tells us, all the way to the time of the Churban. However, something which is not, I wouldn't say new this year, because frankly it was already in existence last year. We spoke about it, if I remember correctly, a bit last year, and it's not really something that's ever been new, because it never went away, but something which is clearly in the communities that many of us come from or even currently live in, what is clearly worse than it has been in recent history, is the significant uptick in anti-Semitism. Around the world, in Europe, and perhaps most shocking, because we thought we were so secure there, in the United States, and not just in the United States, in New York, and not just in New York, in Brooklyn. Just Friday, I don't know how many of us who are living in Eretz Yisrael saw this. We already made Shabbos. There was a Jew walking to an early morning minyan, maybe it was Vasikin, I think it was even before 6 in the morning, in Flatbush on Friday, and it got caught on camera, randomly, just viciously attacked. There was literally blood on the sidewalk in Flatbush from how badly he was attacked, walking to shul on Friday. Communities, government leaders, people that we thought were our friends, people would have our back, constantly disappointing us. The blatant anti-Semitism that comes not only from street thugs, but more recently from prominent celebrities, athletes, and even in the halls of Congress. In today's cancel culture, there's one thing that you won't be canceled for, and that's anti-Semitism. You can get away with that. Say anything else about who knows what, you're in trouble. But even the most grotesque anti-Semitic caricature, no problem. I take some comfort, but also pain, I think these go together, from source 2 on the sheet. And let's do this before we start the kinos. The Sefer HaDrash V'Ha'iyun is an incredible collection of in-depth drashos, as the name would convey, on the various parshios of the Torah and more. The author was known as the Reish Rav, a grandson of the great Rav Yitzchak Shmelkis, the Beis Yitzchak, and the grandfather and namesake of the well-known and prominent and not long ago passed away Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine, who was a very famous economics professor at YU, a Talmud Chacham, a Rav in Flatbush. And even though he was known as Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine, and he's the grandson and namesake, at least on the internet, the name is spelled of Aaron Levin. So I'm not sure how they pronounced it in Europe. Was it Levin or Levine? But that is the author of Hadrash V'Ha'iyun. He was a member, aside from being a Gaon Adir and a Rav of significant communities in Europe, he was one of those incredibly talented and brilliant Renaissance men. So he learned multiple languages, which not only helped him unofficially in various aspects of his shtadlonos, but eventually got him elected to Polish parliament. Imagine a Hasidic Shayid, and he was one of the leading spokespeople in the Polish parliament because of his charisma and his ability. This sefer that we have, which is not the only sefer that he wrote, although it may be his magnum opus, as far as I know, it's his most famous sefer. Incredibly, at least if you can trust what you read in the history records, it is written on a. It was written while he was on the train back and forth between Russia and Warsaw during the 12 years that he was in the parliament. He had all these years of transportation and travel, and while he was traveling, he would write this commentary, which became this incredible sefer. He was killed by the Nazis in 1941, and look at what he says. It's just so powerful. It's commenting on a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Vayomer Avimelech al Yitzchak, Lech me'imenu ki itzamta mimenu ma'od, right? Here we have an example, non-Jew kicking out Yitzchak, evicting Yitzchak, telling him to leave because you're too strong. So in this incredible piece, which I recommend getting an original copy or finding it online if you can, it's over 2 pages. I gave you a pretty good selection, but it's still a fraction of what he wrote on this topic. He traces the phenomenon in powerful, powerful ways, historically in Drush and even a little bit of anti-Semitism. Pamim rabos shama am Yisrael al sher al pi arov yichyeh chayim shel dachak v'lachatz chayim shel oni machzor kol shcheinav adonai haaretz asher hu garba korei lav balag ubuz. Says most of Jewish history, we know this because we should appreciate the blessings that we have. Most of Jewish history, the overwhelming number of Jews were beyond dirt poor. They had nothing. They suffered. And in the countries that we lived in, we were ridiculed. Nerpim atim nerpim. L'chol avoda lo tatzlichu. You Jews, you're nothing. You're weak. You can't succeed in anything. U'lchein mitzapim atem l'shulchan acherim. You're relying on other people. V'ach zeh. Chavitzchem lahatil atzmechem aleinu lios lanu. L'ma'amas, if I pronounce that correctly. You want to be a burden, a netel. You're a burden on society. You're poor. You take our welfare. We heard that for most of Jewish history. However, says the Reish Rav, if that's the case, min haroi, we would have expected, shekasher yigber Yisrael v'yasechayil, when we are successful, those brief moments in Jewish history where the Jews have achieved significant success, v'yatzliach, l'asof, etc., etc., hon, v'osher, what would we have expected? Kabed yechabdu beglal charitzuso v'koch ma'asav ha'bechirim asherhema l'gon l'tiferes chol medina. We would have expected those same societies to give us tremendous compliments and appreciate not only our accomplishments and our success, but how our accomplishments and success have benefited those countries, those host societies. We would have expected that. It only makes sense. If they criticize us for our failures and our poverty, they should compliment us and be appreciative when we are successful. Yet, of course, that doesn't happen. Amnam lo kein hu, ki az tasun eish hakina. I'm sorry. Thank you. I skipped that word. Sorry. Tashan eish hakina. Thank you. All of a sudden, you have the fire of kina, of jealousy, taking root. And what do we hear then? Hakol nishma, zorim atem ba'aretz. You're strangers. Me'asher lonu asitem. You took it from us. All your wealth, you're really pilfering it from us. Alukos atem, hamotzutzos es damenu, you're leeches sucking our blood. L'chu lechem, abandon us, get out. Oz shalom yelano, then everything will be good. V'od me'akriyas eila, that break our guf, machivot es halev, hanishmos hayom kan, umachar kan, ba'artzos pizureinu. It doesn't matter what country we live in. It doesn't matter how we're doing in our years of galus. When we do well, one country criticizes us. When we're poor and struggling, a different country will criticize us. This is what Rabbi Sacks called the mutating virus of anti-Semitism. Whatever we're doing, they'll figure out a way to blame us and to criticize us and to persecute us. What a powerful drush. He connects us to the beginning of Megillas Eicha. Golsa Yehuda me'oni u'meirov avodah hi yashva bagoyim lo matza manoach. So when are we Golsa? When are we sent into Golus? When is Yehuda Yisbol? When do we suffer terrible things? Mitzad echad me'oni. when we're poor, when we're struggling, so they blame us for our failures, that we're milking them dry from the welfare that we need. And yet, mitzad sheni, even meirov avoda, even when we're doing a lot of work, when we're successful, im tarbe avoda so, v'yatzliach, v'yasu chayil, it doesn't matter because the jealousy takes root and they hate us just as much or more. Ben kach u ben kach, lo matzam anoach. We're never going to find true peace in the Golus. Ma shekara la'ameinu ba'alfei shonos pizureinu karagam li'yitzhak avinu. He ties it back to the Pasuk. U'maseh bazeh haya simen labonim. That's what Avimelech, right? If Yitzhak is so strong and so wealthy and so successful, why would Avimelech want to get rid of him? And the answer is it doesn't matter. If Yitzhak was poor, which he had been before that, he'll try to get rid of him. He'll persecute him. And if he's successful and wealthy, he'll persecute him and try to get rid of him and come up with excuses. What an understatement. Jewish history, many, many years of experience have taught us this. We've seen it time and time again. And he doesn't end on the last line, but I can't resist not sharing this last line. It is full of so much pathos and pain and just so cut to the heart. Look what he says at the end. Ki noach l'ohave adam eile lizrok petite lechem v'litimoach baruach nidiva biyad am oni ve'evyon. He says, at the end of the day, there's two options. Either they're going to hate us because we're poor, because they hate us because we're rich. From their perspective, which one is better? He says, the enlightened ones. One can only imagine who he was thinking about, but we could easily insert name here for contemporaries. The enlightened ones who love humanity, the humanists. They love us, at least they'll tolerate us to some extent. They feel good about themselves when we're poor and they need to give us a handout. That a little bit, epis, they can tolerate us. Achein yidve libam berosam ki am hazed mitna'er me'afar. But think about how much more difficult it is, the hatred that churns inside of them. When we, like a phoenix, rise from the ashes. Hagber v'yatzliach v'yasachayel. Incredibly powerful. Especially knowing that he was writing this in the mid and late 1930s. Unfortunately, again, not to compare anything that we're dealing with now to what they were dealing with 80, 90 years ago. Nevertheless, I think you'd have to be willfully blind, delusional, and all sorts of other things, not to see, unfortunately, throughout Europe, including and maybe even especially in communities that have the largest Jewish populations, places like London in Europe, New York and Brooklyn in America, an incredible rise in anti-Semitism. And this pattern of history has reemerged from what we thought was, we were hoping would be a longer slumber. And we were blessed for so many decades. It had kind of been suppressed a little bit. But unfortunately, it has come back with a vengeance. And we have to daven, do tshuva, and pray, and do whatever derech hateva, hishtadlus, is necessary. But this is also something to connect with on Tisha B'Av. It all goes back to the schiumos, the simuni, the karosa, the me'avai, all the people, the various politicians, all sorts of other people, co-workers, all sorts of people we thought would be on our side, the quote-unquote enlightened ones, the one who we work with, the one who see our successes, see our accomplishments. And unfortunately, time and time again, going back to the time of the Khorban, history has taught us that unfortunately the hatred of the Jew because of what we represent, because of our difference, is always just an inch beneath the surface, and we're living with a difficult time, and it's something we really need to be thinking about in particular as we begin the kinos and all of the avodas hayom for today. Shavasur Mani Shimuni Akarai.